From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Beef is a big, complex business. The industry has sales of more than $70 billion a year. It includes small ranchers, big feedlots, and even bigger meatpackers. And over the last few years, a split has developed. The issue, imports from Canada.
In 2003, the U.S. stopped accepting cattle from Canada after mad cow disease was discovered there. The Agriculture Department had planned to allow Canada to resume beef imports this month, but a federal judge intervened with an injunction that indefinitely postpones the move to reopen the border.
That injunction was the result of a suit brought by a vocal ranchers group. The group says it's trying to protect the health of U.S. cattle and consumers. Others in the industry say it's just looking after ranchers' bottom lines. NPR's Greg Allen has the story.
It's a group with a long name, the Ranchers Cattlemen's Action Legal Fund, United Stock Growers of America. It's better known by its acronym, RCAF USA. The group was founded just 7 years ago, but it already has some 13,000 members, nearly half as many as the country's oldest and largest ranchers group, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, or NCBA. RCAF began partly in response to NAFTA and the impact international trade was having on U.S. ranchers. Its headquarters is in Billings, Montana, on the grounds of a cattle auction. Over a cup of coffee in the Sale Barnes Cafe, RCAF CEO Bill Bullard says that for more than a decade, cattle has been an industry in decline.
Since 1993, we've lost 108,000 cattle producers out of this industry. Our industry has not been profitable, and yet the overall beef industry has been extremely profitable. So the cattle producers have not been receiving their fair and competitive share of the consumer's beef dollar.
Although ranchers are the foundation of the country's beef industry, RCAF President Leo McDonald says when policy is set, their voices are often drowned out by more powerful interests, like meatpackers, food processors, and retailers.
So we formed RCAF just for U.S. cattle producers, and is now the largest cattle organization in the United States that represents only U.S. cattle producers, and that's the key word, only.
Besides helping direct RCAF, Leo McDonald runs one of the nation's top facilities for testing and selling bulls. Today, McDonald's getting about 900 bulls ready for a sale next month. To do that, he's testing them for fertility, growth, even muscle composition. In stalls out back, workers are using barber clippers to trim some of the shaggier bulls.
They're clipping their hair, just kind of making them look good, you know, shining them up. The cattle get off, especially young bulls, get awful hairy during the winter. And so you try and take off that long hair so people can see what they actually are underneath all that hair, you know.
Although RCAF has members across the country, its base is here in Montana and other northern plain states, places where cattle far outnumber people. In its first few years, the group made a name for itself as an upstart dissident, challenging policies put in place by the Agriculture Department and mainstream cattle groups. Last year, RCAF had a big win when it went to federal court to challenge a USDA move to reopen the border to Canadian cattle imports. RCAF won that case, and when USDA came back this year with a new plan to resume Canadian cattle imports, RCAF went back to court, and it won again. A federal judge imposed an injunction on the government forbidding it from opening the border to Canadian cattle until the full case can be heard. RCAF argued that USDA was attempting to open the border before it had assessed the risk mad cow disease, found so far in just 3 Canadian cattle, posed to cattle and consumers in the U.S. The judge agreed, writing in his injunction, that the USDA plan is one that, quote, subjects the entire U.S. beef industry to potentially catastrophic damages, and that presents a genuine risk of death to U.S. consumers. While the RCAF case focused on public health and safety, the group's critics, including many Canadian ranchers, cried foul. They say those concerns are a smokescreen. They say the group's real intent is to keep out competition. But Leo McDonald says there's no separating the two issues.
It's obviously it's a trade issue, so it is about trade. And the one thing we've said time and time again is don't make our country the dumping ground for food products other countries don't want.
RCAF officials note that the one case of mad cow disease discovered so far in this country was in a cow that was born and fed in Canada. They say it makes no sense to reopen the border with Canada until mad cow disease has been eradicated there. While RCAF has been charged with being protectionist, McDonald says he considers that a compliment. He insists he's only working to protect an industry he cares deeply about.
Yeah, we get hate mail. I think the office gets hate mail. All we're doing is the same thing that Canada has done to every other country that's ever had a case of BSE.
hey, I'm sorry, they got a problem. There's no reason that the U.S. rancher should have to have that dumped on his shoulders, or the U.S. consumer have it dumped in their meat counter. That's not our problem. That's their problem.
About 60 miles up the road, Bill Donald ranches on about 25,000 acres in Melville, Montana. The jagged, snow-covered, crazy mountains sit just to the west. In Montana's Big Sky Country, 60 miles is close enough to be considered a neighbor. Bill Donald calls Leo McDonald a friend, but he disagrees with him over his views of Canada and its experience with mad cow disease.
There, but for the grace of God, go us.
On Donald's ranch, it's calving season. He opens the gate leading into the barn, where several heifers and their new calves in hay-lined pens are still getting to know one another. Donald is president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, a group affiliated with RCAF's nemesis, the NCBA. But up here, those divisions and policy differences don't mean as much as they might in Washington. As Donald gets into his battered pickup for a drive around the ranch, he points out Porcupine Butte and Sweetgrass Creek as deer and prairie dogs dart across the gravel roads. Donald helped found RCAF and worked with it on some early trade complaints, but he thinks the group's attack on Canada's cattle industry is wrong.
To cast that pall of doubt, create hysteria about the safety of the product, I think makes a lot of people not only nervous, but very upset.
Bill Donald believes that Canadian beef is safe and that a continued ban on Canadian cattle imports is unfair to Canadians and to U.S. consumers. Donald does concede that for him, like other U.S. ranchers, the last 2 years have been good ones. A ban on Canadian imports combined with strong consumer demand has pushed up beef prices and made it a profitable time to be a cattle rancher. Donald worries, though, about the long-term consequences of a campaign against Canadian beef.
When we come out of the other side and it's a non-issue, I think the only thing we're going to have is to look back at it and see how we dealt with it. Did we deal with it with integrity? Were we factual with our consumers? Or did we mislead them some way?
In the short term, though, even Bill Donald can't argue with RCAF's success in forcing the government to rethink its policy on allowing in cattle from Canada. And that clout appears to be growing. Only one day after its victory in court, RCAF had another win, this time a political one, when the U.S. Senate voted to block the USDA plan to reopen the cattle trade with Canada. Greg Allen, NPR News.